Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened on Friday and where the hell we are today?
Well, on Friday, we got done reading Jeremiah chapter 40.
Correct.
And in that episode, Jeremiah Jeremiah was given the choice to stay in Israel mm-hmm. slash Judah uh-huh. slash Jerusalem.
Right.
Or go to Babylon.
Yeah.
Right?
Where he would be treated well and looked after.
Correct. Yeah. And he chose to stay in Jerusalem Jerusalem adjacent anyway. Or
right. And this is after that area has been completely destroyed by Babylon.
Right. And then he was, there was the new leader of Israel or whatever. His name Gedaliah. Yeah.
He's the governor.
Right. He's the new governor.
Appointed by
Nebuchadnezzar.
Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar.
Right. Yeah.
What?
We're off to a strong start tonight.
Look, I'm sorry, but all day today I've been struggling to remember dude's name.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. So anyway, he was maybe doing some good stuff because people were coming back in from the country and what have you. And
Gedaliah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he heard that somebody wants to kill him.
Some guy named Ishmael.
Yeah.
Coming after him.
And he was like, eh.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, you probably should pay attention to that dude.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of where it left off.
Yeah. So, and if you listen to our Q&A Saturday,
you might already know a thing.
Which is that them two guys were buddies that had served together for a while.
Right.
Which is why Gedaliah was like, get the fuck out of here. He's not trying to kill me. Right, he's so silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was Jeremiah chapter 40.
It sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into
Jeremiah chapter 41.
All right. Let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, so we are getting into Jeremiah chapter 41.
Okay.
Which is a continuation of the previous chapter regarding Ishmael's conspiracy against Gedaliah.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're in the middle of this whole narrative thing. Speaking of which, this chapter in particular is part of a narrative section that runs from chapters 37 through 44.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So here we go. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, call me Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal family and of the officers of the king. So see, he's part of that royal line lineage, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam at Mizpah.
Okay.
So he's like,
this doesn't sound good for Gedaliah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, me and my buddies here. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And there they ate bread together at Mizpah.
Okay. Well, that's not so bad so far.
Yeah. They sat down and had dinner.
Yeah.
Then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword.
There it is.
And killed him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Boom, dead.
I guess at least they gave him a last meal, maybe. I don't know what to think of that.
That's just rude.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, don't go over to somebody's house and eat dinner with them and then kill them.
Don't.
It's not a nice thing to do.
Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him.
Oh, damn.
That is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah. And the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. He's like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Ishmael is like, everybody's dead.
I don't feel like this is a good move.
This is
probably...
You just
got fucking conquered by the Chaldeans and Babylon and everything, and you're killing them already?
He's like, watch this.
What an idiot.
Right? And it happened on the second day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, 80 men with their own beards shaved and their clothes torn, having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Okay, so let's go read some notes here real quick.
Okay.
Let's catch ourselves up.
Sure.
Okay, so Ishmael murdered Gedaliah along with all the Judean officials and Babylonian supervisors at Gedaliah's headquarters in Mizpah during a mealtime when the covenant community is celebrated and the people were less guarded.
Okay.
So they were like, wasn't that great? Oh, by the way, you're dead.
Right. And apparently nobody knew for... days.
Right, right.
Which is interesting.
And so that makes the treachery of his act like all the worse, because they broke bread together.
Right.
And he took the coward's way. Like he killed them while they were down, not in the heat of battle.
Sure.
Like he didn't even like fight with them or yell at them or say, you know, pick up your weapon. He was just like, and by the way, I hate you, bye.
Right, right.
Yeah. So the day Gedaliah was murdered was remembered as a fast day by the post-captivity Jews, because on that day, the hope of living a separate life in the promised land completely vanished.
Got it.
Like in that one dumb move, it was off.
Yeah.
They were completely done.
Right.
And the murder was likely avenged by a third deportation of Jews, you know, based solely on this guy's actions.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Ishmael was of the royal family and one of the officers of the king, a descendant of David. And he was probably jealous that Gedaliah was appointed governor. So that's why he was like, I'll show you.
Sure.
Making him more willing to do the work of the king of Ammonites. So he's here at the behest of the Ammonites.
Ishmael is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ishmael and his men had so effectively killed all the men at the Mizpah settlement that it took some time for the news of the murder to be known.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was not just like the next day, but it was like a few days.
Right, right.
Because they just killed them all. Like, one, two, three, go. You're all dead.
Yeah.
There was nobody even left to, like, tell the tale. So
this was a planned assassination slash whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
There were worshippers of Yahweh in the lands that were formerly part of the kingdom of Israel, conquered by the Assyrians more than 100 years before this. And perhaps they were influenced by King Josiah's reforms, or perhaps they came from the southern kingdom of Judah. Okay.
Okay.
And these pilgrims, the ones who were coming, remember?
Yeah.
Like I just said, that these guys came with their beards shaved and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They may have been descendants of Judeans who had moved north after Samaria fell in 722 BC.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shaving their beards was a sign of deep mourning.
Okay.
So they were mourning the loss of Judea and coming to like bring their prizes and commiserate. But
sure.
Also, you know, they had heard that they would be invited back.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, bittersweet. You know what I mean? They were coming to rejoin, but also to mourn.
Right.
Okay.
I got it.
So they had, that's why they had shaved their beards.
Okay.
Okay. This large group of men came from the north to bring offerings and sacrifices to the temple. Since the Babylonians destroyed the temple, as we read back in 2 Kings, they came in mourning to bring grain offerings and incense to the ruins of the temple. Their offerings were bloodless sacrifices because no facilities were available for animal sacrifices.
Got it.
And since the water... Oh, I'm not there yet. Nothing. Okay. All right. So we continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them. So he was not expecting these guys to come.
Right.
Okay. This was a surprise. And he was weeping as he went along.
Oh, he's putting on a show now.
He's putting on a show. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And it happened as he met them that he said to them, "Come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam." So it was when they came into the midst of the city that Ishmael met the son of Nethaniah, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, killed them and cast them into the midst of a pit.
Holy shit.
And he and all the men who were with him.
He's killing Israelites all over the place here.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So he's just like,
what is his deal? Like, he doesn't even fucking care, apparently.
Well, okay. So the first group he killed was at the behest of this Ammonite king.
Sure.
And he was more than happy to do it because he's like, I should have been the governor. Fuck this guy.
Right, right.
You know, I don't give a shit. Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And you Babylonians, you're gone too because fuck you for invading us. Right?
Right, right.
So that was the first bout of murders. The second bout, he was caught unawares. He was not expecting the second group of people to come and he had to kill them or else, you know, they were going to give away the game.
Got it.
You know?
Okay.
So he had to kill them and he threw them into a cistern. Okay. Now, since the water supply was so precious in Palestine, the fouling of a cistern was a particularly irresponsible act of vandalism.
Got it.
So it's like, dude, why'd you have to do that too?
Yeah.
Cool. But 10 men were found among them who said to Ishmael, "Do not kill us, for we have treasures of wheat, barley, oil, and honey out in the field." So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. Now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel.
Okay.
Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, and all the people who remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Like, I feel like I should stop saying so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, because that, like, confuses us. Like, it adds extra names that we really don't fucking need when they say them 30 times in a row.
It does make it a lot more confusing to me. I'm sure that this is how they were used to conversing back then, maybe, but...
But for us, it's like, no, I just need... Gedaliah is fine.
Right, it's very extra. We don't need that.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, just to recap, Ishmael killed Gedaliah and the Babylonians at that table.
Right.
Then he killed these guys that were coming from afar bringing gifts.
Yeah.
And threw them in a cistern, except for 10. And so then Ishmael carried those 10 and all the other people that remained in town. He took them as prisoners and ran away with them.
Got it.
Okay. Some of them being the king's daughters.
Okay. All right. Okay? Yeah.
So that's what's happening.
Got okay? it. Makes sense.
And Ishmael carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites.
Okay. So he's defecting back to the
Ammonites.
Yeah. Okay.
But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael had done, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael. And they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. So it was when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan and all the captains of the forces who were with him that they were glad. They were like, oh, thank goodness somebody's here to save us from this creeptastic murderer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Yeah, fuck him anyway, right?
Okay, Bray, yeah.
Yeah, okay, bye. Go to the Ammonites. We don't care. See ya. Then Johanan and all the captains of the forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael after he had murdered Gedaliah, the mighty men of war and the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chinhem, which is near Bethlehem, because they went on their way to Egypt.
Okay? Got it.
So Johanan is like, obviously we can't go back to,
where we were staying.
Where we were, because Ishmael nicks that deal for us. The Babylonians are going to have our hides. So we got to go to Egypt. That's our only hope.
Yeah.
So he's taken the people with him back to Egypt.
Okay.
Which to me is just a turn of irony.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Because of the Chaldeans. Okay. As they went on their way to Egypt because of the Chaldeans.
Mm-hmm.
For they were afraid of them because Ishmael had murdered Gedaliah, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's the end of that chapter. Now, Ishmael's motive in transporting the remnant may have been threefold. Ishmael the murderer.
Yeah.
Okay. One, he may have wanted to escape punishment, so he took all the people with him, right?
Sure.
Two, he may have wanted to find refuge with Baalis, who had instigated the assassination of Gedaliah. Okay. Baalis was the king of the Ammonites.
Got it.
Which,
got it.
I mean, yeah, that's where he was going.
So right.
Obviously, he wanted to find refuge with him.
Yeah.
And three, he probably wanted to sell the remnant as slaves to the Ammonites.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy wasn't really an Israelite at all.
I mean,
he was by blood, but he was
by blood, but not in his heart.
He's like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to get what I can get. And,
yeah.
You know.
Worse than Jeremiah, honestly.
Right.
Jeremiah was a double spy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like a double agent. But he didn't, at least according to these stories.
Right.
Right. As recorded, he didn't lift sword and hack people to pieces.
We didn't hear Jeremiah mentioned once in this chapter or the word of God or anything.
Right.
This That's was just an accounting of they killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. We're in story land. That's
Got
why.
It.
When you're in story land, sometimes the main character doesn't show up.
Got it.
Yeah. So.
I mean, we already kind of knew this was coming.
But not all of it.
No, not all of it. Not all of it. But I don't know. I feel like this just makes the story weirder. It doesn't make it better. It just makes it weirder. He just murdered. It was some other king and some other land that wanted this Israelite guy to murder him. And he's like, you got good reason to do it. So do it. And then he killed him. And then that was that.
But that was the smaller picture. The bigger picture is, and that was the very end
of
any potential chance for Judea to re-establish itself
there at that point. Yeah.
Yeah,
which makes sense though. Like we already know that, you know, there was a Babylonian exile, right?
Yeah.
So we knew that this whole thing was kind of weird to begin with. Like what? They're still living
they were re-establishing themselves?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was odd. So, I mean, this actually makes more sense now.
Yeah.
I mean, to some degree.
I appreciate it because it lets us know that, like, everything didn't just happen overnight. Like, it wasn't just like, and Babylon came in and took charge and killed all the kings and right. that was it. The end.
Right, right.
Like, there was a lot of, like, and this happened over here and those people were still fighting over there. And then you had some of the Jewish people were, like, fighting their own interests.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they weren't all on the same team.
Right.
That to me bears repeating in my mind because to me, I hear these stories and I'm like, the Jews did this and the Jews thought that. And it's very easy to think of them as a monolith. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I got to say, though, so Jeremiah decided to stay with this remnant in Judah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a prophet who can see the future.
No, he's a prophet who God tells him things that God wants him to know.
Right. I'm having trouble understanding what his purpose was to stay here.
I have no idea.
Because there's literally nobody that's going to matter from this group
right.
doing anything.
Right.
They're either dead, heading to Egypt, or heading to the Ammonites.
Right.
And so what? Like, what was your purpose here? What did God want you to do here?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think we've got, how many chapters do we have in Jeremiah?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought maybe we were coming up on the end, but no, we've still got several more chapters.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, maybe it'll become clear. I kind of doubt it, honestly. Sometimes there's just these random things that happen in the Bible and it's like, yep, that happened.
Well, maybe he's going with Johanan and the surviving remnant to Egypt.
Maybe. But he literally didn't come up in the story at all. So I'm just, it was kind of odd. And I feel like we're going to just like kind of buzz over this.
Right.
And it'll just be a thing.
Well, then so, let's be on the lookout for that tomorrow. And if it doesn't come up, we'll be like, the fuck happened to Jeremiah?
Sure. All right. Well, that was Jeremiah chapter 41.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we'll be back tomorrow with
Jeremiah chapter 42.
Our favorite one.
42.
It's 42. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.